welcome to the Switch Island Desert Island Cartridges episode 20. I am your host, Ben, and joining me, my co-hosts for today, Rich and New Islander, Andrew. How are we, gentlemen?
Very well. Thank you very much.
No, doing good. Cooling off a little bit.
Good, good. Rich, how is the beard coping in the heat?
I know, it's not doing too bad. Yeah, you know, a few cries of pain now and again. You know, the wildlife are living it, are fleeing, finding cooler places to live. But
oh dear.
Yeah, I had a haircut today. I needed
Andrew,
a haircut.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Speaking of haircuts, Andrew, I'm very jealous of your long, long, long hair that you've got.
Yeah.
Just lording it up over me with all your hair.
Exactly. Yeah. I had a haircut the other day. Actually, I should have saved it. We could have glued it on you.
Please do. If anyone listening is willing to donate... No, that sounds creepy. I'll stop there. Cool. All right. Well, joining us today, we have got another New Islander. You might have seen on social media recently, we've had an influx of new blood and new talent. And we're introducing one of them today. And that is Laurie. How are you doing, Laurie?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm good.
Good. Welcome to the island, mate.
That's lovely to be here.
You are fully acclimatised? Getting used to life here?
Well, a bit of jet lag still, a bit of jet lag.
Yeah.
That time nasty. Time difference is a killer.
It is a killer. But yeah, obviously you're here. You're here to produce content of the finest quality. But in order to stay on the island, then there's a strict kind of set of tests that you need to pass. Well, you need to bring a game and a food and a drink to the island. And then we, Richard, Andrew and myself, get to decide whether you can stay or not. So there's a lot hanging on this. Your dreams.
I'm feeling the pressure. I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling the pressure.
Yeah, I can imagine. So yeah, just for the people listening that maybe, you know, haven't had any interaction with you as yet, do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, and what it is you're doing as an islander from now on?
Yeah, well, hello everyone. My name's Laurie. I live in Hertfordshire. Married with a kid, more on the way. I've been gaming all of my life. Had quite a long hiatus, I'm not going to lie. Those university years, we went off, and that's kind of where it all dropped off. And then, probably about 10 years ago, got back on the train. And yeah, when the Switch came out a few years ago, that was when it really, yeah, I was like, oh, finally. Finally, yeah. I'm back with some Nintendo goodness in my life. I think before that, N64 was the last Nintendo console.
Wow.
Yeah, confession time.
Yeah,
confession
that is
time, guys. Yeah, I know. So, you know, all these re-releases that keep coming. And, you know, when Switch was first coming out, there's rumours of GameCube games on it. I was like, brilliant. Yeah, sign me up for all of that. Great.
Yeah,
And I didn't even own a Wii, which, you know, everyone had a Wii, but not me.
Wow, you were the one person on Earth without a Wii.
Exactly. Always stuck in there with the DS and the 3DS, because that was me for a number of years, just really kind of handheld gaming.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was always just still Nintendo, but only on handheld. So when the Switch came out, I was like, well, it's their new handheld, perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Best of both worlds, indeed. Isn't it?
Absolutely. So yeah, I've been trying to meet as many people as possible on Twitter, find people to share this love of gaming with, and then. You guys took pity on me, chatting to myself in a corner. Thought, yeah, okay.
I think it's the other way around, to be honest.
great to join in the conversation, really. I've been listening to you guys' podcast for quite a while now, and just so many times I'd be listening as I was walking home from work. I'm just like, oh, just why isn't someone saying this? Someone say this, damn it. Like,
you've come to make us better.
So, yeah.
That's what it's like. Exactly. It's funny you mentioned about the Switch there, like reinvigorating your love of gaming almost. I had the exact same thing. I wonder how many kind of grown-ups that it's had that impact on. Because the fact of the matter is, it's so hard to find the time to sit down and play PS4 or Xbox One and just be chained to a TV when you've got other responsibilities and other people wanting to use the TV.
Yeah, and so, you know, when I was at uni, it's kind of no time for doing any. I didn't even have a TV at uni, and then just, you know, you finish uni, you get a job, you think, oh, I've got some money now, I know, I'll buy. It's actually when I moved down to London, moved in with some housemates, and one of them had a PS3, and bear in mind, I hadn't gamed or anything since, well, Shenmue on the Dreamcast was probably the last time I sort of spent a lot of time playing a game. And then I walked into my housemate's room, and he was playing Modern Warfare on the PlayStation 3, and I was like, right, shit, is this what's happened to games in the last kind of 5 years since I've been away? Like, this game looks insane. Like, I've got to get me, some of this. And then, but yeah, obviously, when you're kind of young, you don't have any kind of commitments and stuff. Then yeah, sign me up for all the kind of PS3, PS4, you know, these big, massive open world adventures that just keep getting bigger and bigger. And you're like, oh my god, this is great, great if you've got the time. But you know, who has the time? Like you say, Ben, who has the time these days? So then when the Switch comes along and you think this is just this, and I've kind of forgotten just by, you know, I love my PlayStation still, certain types of games on there that you know that Nintendo just don't do, so it's great to own both. But I hadn't sort of realized until I got the Switch just how much I'd kind of missed that Nintendo magic, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you guys know.
Oh yeah, that's why
I'm preaching to the converted here. I don't need to convince you guys that Switch
you are
is
although
a good
I
thing.
I think Rich actually visibly swooned when you talked about Shenmue, I think he's just had a glazed expression ever since.
Well, I can literally see Andrew.
We like Shenmue as well.
I can see a Dreamcast in the back of Andrew's camera there. So.
You can indeed, yeah.
Of course. Yeah, so you must have missed out on the Dreamcast. Speaking of which, would that have been one that you?
No, that was
in your dark ages, or did you get that one?
No, that was the last one I bought. Okay. Bought that before going off.
End on a high.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well,
I think I got burnt, you know, after buying that and loving it, and then it just Sega just killing it brutally after a couple of years. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Gaming's dead. Sega have killed it.
Well, because, you know, like, at that age, when you've got no money and you go out and you spend like hundreds of pounds on a games console, and then like, after you expect it to last kind of like a generation, 5-7 years, whatever. You're like, well, I can't afford to buy another one, so.
Yeah. Cool. Well, obviously, we're excited to have you guys with us, and excited to hear what game you are planning to smuggle onto the island, because that's what we're all here for: Desert Island Cartridges. Your opportunity to enter the coveted Desert Island Cartridges, an elusive award that allows only the best games into an exclusive all-inclusive club. So, Laurie, have you got any that were contenders that didn't quite make the cut?
Well, there's actually lots of contenders that have already made the cut, because I mean, there's 20 of us on the island on with their Desert Island cartridges now. There's been so many that I was like, oh, I really want to talk about this game, but no. I mean, Ben, yourself, you've taken Breath of the Wild onto there. So.
Yeah, I got in there early.
The Witcher 3, that's already on there. So there's you know, there's already so many good games on there. Me, I agonised what ones I was going to bring on. I mean, Hollow Knight came so close to getting it.
Modern Warfare, isn't it?
That's not on there yet, and that's just kind of somebody needs to bring that on there, because, you know, when I get tired of my game, I want to get back to Hollow Nest.
Yeah. Have you actually finished Hollow Knight?
I finished it as far as finishing a game. In my definition of finishing a game, I haven't by all means finished it properly. Which is what a lot of purists. I've got to the point where I've kind of, rolled the credits, and now to kind of finish the game completely, I'm like, this is a whole level of kind of commitment and challenge that's just kind of, this is not for me. This is the people that have got the time and the skill. I'm not that good. And kind of just getting the credits, beating that final boss for the first time was just like, yes, I don't want to do that again.
Man, I respect you for just doing that. I had to give up on Hollow Knight. It's such a hardcore game, but so beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's
just absolutely captivating art style, and just the kind of, you are just discovering a whole world down there, and it really does just kind of so much kind of character in every kind of frame, and just all the NPCs and the it's just so kind of weird and just beautiful, and I love it.
Awesome. And I'm certain that someone, I know if Dr. Fact ever comes on Desert Island Cartridges, then I know, I'm pretty sure that's what he's going to bring, but so yes, this is all about you. So
yeah,
it's not
well, my other near miss, which is this one, my pick is actually quite related to, is Super Mario Odyssey. Again, I can't believe no one's got that on there yet. Like, come on. The only reason I haven't brought that on with me to the island is, you know, I've kind of got all of the moons, and I feel like I've kind of done everything, and it's not the sort of game that I want to ever sit and do all those moons again, because kind of for me the joy in that game was just discovering things for the first time and just thinking how clever you are for finding these things, and you think, I bet no one else has found this yet. You know, everyone played that game at launch, because come on, you're crazy if you weren't, and you're just like, I bet no one's found this one yet. This is, you know, finding all these moons was so great. So I can't imagine, though, I'd ever want to do it again. I'm just waiting for Nintendo to release a sequel or some DLC, which is insane they haven't done yet.
Sunshine DLC, come on. They teased it. It's got to happen.
Yeah, or a Ghost House. Why was there not a Ghost House Kingdom? Like, Ghost House is like such an important part of Mario's, you know?
So much they can do with that. I'm amazed they haven't touched it. It's almost got to the point where it's too far from launch to do anything with
it. Yeah, I think they're probably saving the ideas. Exactly, yeah. Save the ideas for a sequel now, which, you know, I'd rather have them do that now, to be honest, because that just means more levels, more kingdoms.
Well, I always think with so many games coming out, it's almost like DLC, regardless of how much you love the original, DLC is almost bottom priority, because there's so many new experiences, like brand new experiences coming out. Mm-hmm. Why would you then pay an extra £10-20 to get a little bolt on for another game when there's all this brand new stuff? I don't know. It was just something I was thinking about the other day.
Nintendo's DLC is real, because I was kind of quite late to the PS3 generation, and I got a lot of Game of the Year editions that just had all of the DLC in it at once, and that's kind of overwhelming. I was just like, you kind of don't really appreciate it. It's just all there. But I've been really liking, every time Nintendo drops some DLC, I've been kind of, it's come late enough that I'm just like, oh yeah, I'll get back into this now. So the Zelda Breath of the Wild DLC was great. That was just so well timed for me, I think. And I've still got Mario plus Rabbids DLC to download. I can't wait to get into that. And you know, I'm waiting for them to announce a sequel, and I think, right, I'm gonna play that DLC to get back into the game. And the game I've picked actually has had some DLC, which was again perfectly timed, and just I've absolutely loved some of the DLC levels.
Okay, so without further ado, what have we got?
So Ben, I wish to bring on board Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. I was not expecting that. All your chat about Hollow Knight, I was thinking,
he's
going to be
horse.
Some indie darling here.
Go ahead. No, why Captain
Toad Treasure Tracker is just one of those games that just reminds you why you love games in the first place. When I was talking about that Nintendo magic that I just hadn't realised I'd been missing, it's just that is just encapsulated in this gem of a package of Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. You can't get it anywhere else. It's such a just magical game. The way that all of these levels are just there to be prodded and poked at and just rotated round. They're all like little tiny play sets that you just want to kind of play with and interact with. And it's just so charming and... I could say I could talk about it all night, which is lucky because I'm on a podcast now to talk about this game. So
no, stop right there. Yeah, no, it's good. It's really good. Have you guys played it?
I did play the demo, but that's it. Unfortunately,
I'm going to have you convinced.
Nah. Yeah. Crack on.
Rich is very, very easily influenced. He'll be buying it right now.
Haven't bought Fire Emblem yet, so.
Oh fuck off. What about you, Andrew? Have you played Captain Toad?
I have. I played it on the Wii U, the original console it came out for. And obviously I've also played Super Mario 3D World, which is where the format originated, the little puzzles that they had in that. So yeah, I've played it and completely agree with Laurie. It's a complete gem of a game, absolutely.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
So it's based on this Japanese Hakoniwa, the sandbox. You've seen them, the little kind of foot square boxes of sand with little bonsai trees in them. This is that kind of Japanese concept, and you just that this design philosophy that you just kind of boil everything down in just to just get these kind of small parts that are just so intricate and sort of fascinating to look at, and that's just what playing that game is, especially in the handheld mode where you can just hold this thing in your hands.
Yeah, I particularly, probably this is less it's probably a game that worked even better on the Wii U, if anything. But I did find playing on the TV in docked mode, it was a little bit clunky with the pointing controls.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you there. I play 90% of my Switch handheld. Agree with you. I think I tried docking it and I was just like, nope, this controls just not how you want it to. You want to be able to touch things and move things around. So, that kind of pointer, that sort of shadowy hand that just hovered around everywhere, which just, that didn't work for me. But, you know, the time to program it for people that do want to do it.
But that's a minor gripe for what is a beautifully presented game. And as you say, they just nailed the Nintendo magic. It's just that from the look of it to the music and, you know, his little noises that he makes. Can anyone do a Toad impression?
I was just about to try, but then I thought, no, I don't want that to be one of the first things that everyone just kind of remembers me for, my terrible Toad impression.
Everyone do one on three. No. It has got that Nintendo magic. Did you 100% it?
Well,
forget
99.9%. And this is the thing about this game, right? Everyone thinks it was priced quite cheap. I think it wasn't a full price game. I think it's £30 in the UK.
So
you kind of went in the expectation that it was going to be a shorter game, but actually there's so much to this game. Just to walk through the levels and get all of the stars is kind of, you can do that in a few hours, but then you've got to get all the gems, and then there's the kind of the second real objective to do in each level, which you can't really, well, you sometimes can just get lucky and do it on the first time around, but you usually have to do it a second time.
Yeah.
And so to do all those things, and to, you know, you think you can just, when you first play through a level, you think you know it, and then when it actually asks you to do these other things that you kind of, you know, ask you to find a golden mushroom, you're like, what? I didn't, you know, I went through that level. Yeah, I went through that level carefully. There was no golden mushroom.
There's no way. There's no golden mushroom here. There's something wrong with the game. There can't be a golden mushroom here.
There was a piece to that puzzle that you didn't unfold, or something you didn't move, or you didn't sort of, you know, swing the camera around at the right angle to see it. And that's what I absolutely love about it. So there is so much to it. And then you've got the pixel toads, which I believe was it was an amiibo thing before, which is now just you don't need the amiibo for, which is good because I don't own any amiibos. So you could, you know, if I'm stuck there on the island with you guys and I can just pixel toads, I didn't do all of those. When you complete the game, it gives you like a par time to complete, or a target time to complete each stage, and I don't think I've done any of those, so you can just it encourages you to go back and speed run it. But then at the very end of it, I mean, this is spoilers potentially, although you can't really spoil a game like Captain Toad. At the end of it, there's this kind of endless runner procedurally generated maze mode that's just kind of fantastic, and I cannot get to the end of it. You need to get to, I think, level 50 or collect 5,000 coins. Andrew, did you do this?
No, I didn't. I didn't get quite that far.
This is the very last thing the game asks you to do before it gives you the classic Nintendo thank you in coins kind of thing. And it's just so hard. It just kind of builds. And so, it's quite a long game if you can do everything anyway. But then this kind of, the fact that it's just got, at the end of it, it's got something that could be its own kind of little indie game, just in its own right. This is such a cool little thing to end on that you could just keep playing forever. They've added a two-player mode now. You can play the whole thing in two-player.
Captain Toad and his
little lady girlfriend. No, I haven't. No, I'm waiting for my boy to be able to hold a Joy-Con properly. Yeah. And then it's just like, this would be the perfect game to just, where I can actually go through and do the puzzles and he can just kind of wander around the levels and I can just kind of quickly defeat Goombas before they get him and stuff.
How old's your little boy?
He's 3.5. He's 3.5.
Oh, so okay. He's nearly there. He's almost there.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll tell you another one. We're doing a bit of Nintendo Dad stuff again. But what else is a cool thing to play with a little one is the Pixel Toad one, and just just controlling, rotating the map around, and they're looking out for it, and then they touch the Pixel Toad.
That is a good shout, actually, because
quite satisfying for them, I think.
He loves a spot the difference or that kind of stuff. Yeah, he would love that. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
There you go. Yeah, well done.
Thank you. Yeah, there we go. Excellent. They've also just added a VR mode as well, which, you know, I haven't got Labo VR, but when they added it to Captain Toad, I was like, right, I need to get Labo VR now because I need to do these levels. So they keep adding more and more content to it. It's just great. It's an absolute bargain of a game now.
Yeah, they've really supported it, haven't they? And I think it was, you know, when they did the Mario Tennis sort of trial period over here, where you could play the whole game. Was it for a weekend or a week? I can't remember.
A week, yeah. A week of Mario Tennis.
And then they did Captain Toad in Japan, I think. So hopefully we'll rotate and we'll get that over here and a few more people will pick it up, because it's a special little game, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those games that if you are... Each level is just kind of... Nintendo, like no other company, are the masters of designing 3D spaces, and like there's no other worlds like it. I mean, at the moment we're in a place where games like Assassin's Creed just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know, the whole, you know, games, open world games used to be called sandbox games. You remember when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out? That was called a sandbox game, because that was based on this same concept of these kind of small, self-contained miniature worlds that look like living and breathing real things. And they've just kind of, we drop that term sandbox nowadays. We don't tend to use it so much because the worlds have gotten bigger and bigger. They're now open worlds instead. So I just love the fact that Nintendo just have taken it right back down to the smallest scale. Just to remind you what it is. And, you know, I would... Yeah, you can run around an entire city in Assassin's Creed and remember nothing from it now. You know, they're great games still, don't get me wrong, but yeah, there's not really... The space itself doesn't really kind of remind... It's not that memorable, but some of the levels in Captain Toad are just kind of such clever little things that just... They're little miniature marvels that, you know, you have these kind of intricate hamster wheels that you have to kind of run round to move round, and things, the kind of the physics of it all is just, you know, reveals little hidden gates and windows and enemies and gems and crystals, and yeah, it's great. It really reminds me as well, do you remember as a kid that game Scribble Scramble?
Oh yeah.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's this little thing that you have to, it's kind of like a video game version of that. And that's why I think I love playing this game so much, because it really just kind of reminds me of being a kid again, and just, you know, dialing little knobs and levers and stuff to make a, you know, if kind of you imagine the marble that goes around the maze, that's Toad, and you're just moving him around and just controlling all these things to get him to the end of it safely. And it's just such a kind of charming thing that just makes you smile and just reminds you why you play games in the first place.
Yeah, it's true. And it's got, like you said, it's with same with Odyssey, Mario Odyssey, not Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's got that charm that it just, a new level opens up and you just smile and you just go, oh, this is lovely. Yeah. I like what they've done here. I think one of them that sticks out for me with Captain Toad, I think there's one where, well, there's probably several levels like this, but the first time that I came across it was... It's almost like stealthy bits where you have to avoid the shy guys.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of murder them somehow. I can't remember whether you drop on top of them or something.
No, you
like
shine
that.
The light. You shine the light, is it? And then they burst open or something. It's quite horrific.
I can't remember. But
horrific,
but I was just like, this actually, yeah, exactly. This is quite cool. I'm basically just creeping around, just assassinating these poor shy guys in this gorgeous little cartoony world. Yeah, it just made me smile. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, but there's kind of
game.
There's over 100 levels now. So you say there's so much when you're playing it that you kind of, every time a new one opens for you, you're like, oh, what's this going to be? And just you take a few seconds when it just look to see it in front of you, and you say, okay, so this is it a minecart level? Is it a level on a train? Is it a little kind of object? Is it a garden? Is it a tropical island? What is it that they've kind of created here? And you just kind of stare at it for a few seconds before you start to kind of dig deeper and start to prod it and poke it around and stuff. And it's, I said there was a Treehouse Live once where Miyamoto was saying when he was designing Mario 64, when he was going through the process of designing that game, he had a hamster loose in his house, and he was just watching this hamster run around a room, and he thought, wouldn't that be fun to be able to just run around as a hamster through a space like that? And that's obviously where Mario 64 came from, and there's that kind of design influence, and that's kind of what they're doing here. I mean, do you remember every kid's been to a pet shop and seen those kind of cool hamster cages, which is kind of little tunnels connecting up little kind of hamster wheels and stuff, and that's
I used to be
what
absolutely
this game
obsessed
is you're
with
controlling
them.
The hamster, that's what it is. It's again, it's kind of harks back to that time when you're a kid. And
you're very good, Laurie. You've sold this game quite well, I must say. And you know, you've got a bit of nostalgia thrown in there, tugging on our heartstrings. This is going to be I don't know, Rich, you're probably...
Yeah, come on, Rich, you've never played it. Are you now thinking...
This is actually a first, though. I mean, why have you actually been talking? I don't want to sound rude, like I've been doing other stuff, but I did actually go to the Nintendo site and re-download the demo. So, going to give it a play again after this, and if I like
one step of the way there already.
Exactly, I'm not going to jump in and spend £35, but let's see how it goes. It was a long time since I played the demo, so I can't remember much about how I felt at the time, but... We'll see. Yeah. We'll see if I like it. Who knows? Ooh. Who knows?
I think it was actually the demo that sold me on it. I don't download many demos, but I thought I'd just... Because it came out relatively early in the Switch's life, didn't it?
Hmm.
So I didn't have a massive mountain of games. But it's got a special place in my heart, actually, because it's... I think it's the first game that I completed in 2019, which is... I decided to actually start completing games in 2019, and since then I've kind of been, you know, knocking them off my to-do list. So that's
I think as well, I just really love puzzle games, or puzzle games that aren't just kind of like Tetris. Mm. It's kind of like Portal, and Portal 2 are just brilliant games because they're kind of puzzle games, but they're in a kind of, it's a 3D space kind of a puzzle game. It's I really like that, and I just, you know, Mario games obviously amazing, but the kind of the puzzling aspect, they're not really puzzly sort of games. Mm. They're not kind of, well, I don't know. I suppose Mario Odyssey is quite tricky to kind of solve it all, but you know what I mean. I like the kind of the simple puzzle.
Yeah,
aspect and it's as well.
And there's no, you know, there's no kind of, there's nothing out to kill you. It's quite a chilled out game as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
you play it.
Yeah.
Sort of an anxiety-inducing game, like a lot of them are.
And it's a great Switch game where they've got that kind of ethos of let's make it work portably. If you just got to play in short sessions, or if you want to play it in a longer session, you can do. But you know, if you've just got a minute, you can probably get quite far in a level, or you can do something. It's each stage takes a few minutes to do for the first time, and then you can do it a second and a third and a fourth time. You can spend kind of up to 20-30 minutes on each stage, so you can make it last as long or as short as you want.
Didn't this drop simultaneously on the 3DS as well? Is that right? Didn't it come out?
It did.
I think so.
I think it also came out. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I think it also came out the same day as Octopath Traveler. So maybe a lot of people overlooked it because Octopath Traveler was the kind of bigger, more exciting game that week.
Yeah.
On Switch.
It's true. True. It's weird. The 3DS. It's almost like that was their strategy for about 3 months, and then they just went, actually no, 3DS is dead.
But apparently it was
Sushi Striker. Sorry,
3DS port was the one they started first of all, and then it was because I think the whole kind of 3D, the stereoscopic 3D was just kind of perfect for this. I've not actually played it on the 3DS, but I can imagine that would be brought to life even more, just having the 3D effect on.
True. Okay, all right, well that's the game.
If I need one more thing just to help sell it to you, this is kind of...
Go on then, push it over the line. Don't ruin it, don't push it too far, you never know.
No, this is just a lovely little fact that I love about this game, is that apparently it was originally intended and designed as a Zelda game. It was going to be a Zelda game, but they kind of reskinned it all at the last minute. But the whole... Yeah, because Link can't jump, neither can Toad, and there's kind of boss battles in it as well, the same way you do in Zelda, and it was going to be little dungeons rather than these kind of random random locations. But yeah, originally at the concept stage it was supposed to be a Zelda game, and you can kind of, when you play it, you know, that you can kind of see that come through as well. And I think they just probably, it might have been around the time of Federation Force, that everyone just kicked the hell off and they thought, Jesus, if we release a Zelda game like this, people are going to riot. So I think they just kind of shelved it and reused it in Mario 3D Land instead.
Cool, good little fact there. All right, cool. Any more questions, guys, about Captain Toad before we move on to the good stuff?
No, nothing that's come to mind.
Not from me.
I'm just going to look forward to the demo, and I'll form my own opinions then, I think.
We need to do, like they do, you know, when they do like location, revisited, we need to come back, we need to revisit this episode and just record another little 5 minutes at the end of it once we've just played it, and then we can see if he's like, what
And he's just like,
about,
nah,
shite. Little Toad.
All right. So, Laurie, what food would you like to bring to the island?
Food. This was an easy choice. It's got to be burritos.
Oh. Mm. Nice.
Who doesn't love a burrito?
Yeah. Who doesn't? What would you fill them with, though?
Oh, well, that's the beauty, isn't it? Every time you go to, I might need a whole burrito shop, actually, on the island, because every time you go there, you just kind of want to look at the fillings, and probably, you know, it's probably got to be a steak one. I think you've got to be a steak burrito.
Steak here. Now, I should just warn you, Andrew, I believe, is a vegan, and Rich looks like a vegan. So,
yeah, sorry, guys. But, I mean, that again, the beauty of it, I'll happily eat a veggie burrito. That's fine, you know.
That's true.
If it's Andrew's night to cook on the island and he wants to make me a veggie one, I'll happily scoff that as well. It's great. London is full of burrito places now, and there's so many of it. Every road's got... They're like Starbucks. They're just... Every road's got a burrito place on it now, so... I've actually had to start to wean myself off them because I kept getting them after nights out and just eating them on the train. And then I'd get up in the morning and sort of look at my suit and I just have kind of burrito just all dripped down it and stuff. And the dry cleaning bill was killing me. So I was just like, I can't, it's too expensive. I can't keep dry cleaning my suits every time I eat one of these. So.
Yeah, what is the... There must be a clean way to eat them because I don't think I've ever had one and it's not spilled like down my face.
They wrap them in like an entire roll of tinfoil, but it still leaks out the bottom. There's still kind of a little juicy hole at the bottom. It just all kind of ruins whatever clothes you're wearing.
Yeah, I've never managed. Never managed well with them.
There's actually there's quite a few vegan burrito places popping up as well, like in London as well, and they are really tasty if you don't mind like fake meat. Then they're quite tasty as well.
You don't even need to have fake meat. I mean, butternut squash and feta cheese is one of the best fillings for a burrito I've ever had. So,
I'm not. I don't really do the whole fake meat thing. It's just like Andrew says, just stick some good veg in there. Stick some mushrooms in there. Stick some peppers. You can't go wrong. But it's just you got so much going on there. You got your beans. You got your rice. You got your veg. You know, you don't even need meat. It's great. You got lettuce, tomatoes. Oh, and hot. You've got to have the hot sauce as well. This is as I'm getting older. I just kind of all my food. I need to put hot sauce on. So, when you said I've got to pick one food, I was like, well, it's got to be something with hot sauce on it because I just can't taste it otherwise.
I've got a weird feeling that someone's already brought burritos on as well, which is fine because we have a relaxed attitude to doubling up the food and drink. But I'm sure someone at EGX Resd that we spoke to brought burritos. I think it might have been the chap from what are they called? Developers of SteamWorld Dig. Image and Form.
Yeah.
Image and Form. Yeah. I'm sure he brought that on. We'll have to go back and check. Anyway, SteamWorld
Dig 2, that almost got on. That was almost on my shortlist as well. That's such a great game. That's such a good game on Switch.
Again, can't believe no one's brought that yet. It's like, it was my second favourite Switch game until Fire Emblem came out. Have you played Fire Emblem? Fire Emblem's amazing. Anyone played Fire Emblem?
I haven't heard of it.
Sorry. No.
Sorry, I just have to get that into every episode.
It's just so big. Everyone keeps saying it's just all. It just looks like such an undertaking, and it's just Link's Awakening is just so around the corner. I can't start a giant game. I had Octopath Traveler, that was kind of another 70-hour game. That took me months to get through.
Yeah, too big. Okay, game, food. What about the drink? What are you gonna drink?
Well. It's got to be a beer because, beer's great, obviously. Used to be a real ale drinker, but there's times where you just think, I just want a cold, refreshing lager. But conveniently, in the last few years, these craft beers, these hoppy cans of just things that taste like ale, but they're cold and refreshing like a lager, have just taken over. So I'd probably say Punk IPA by Brewdog. It doesn't need to be them. Any kind of craft beer like that, hoppy, just stick some American hops in there, some New England hoppy beers, but Punk IPA at the moment is usually many cans of that in my fridge at any one time.
Solid choice. Rich is a bit of a craft aficionado, aren't you, Rich?
It's great now. Every pub now has at least one or two. It's just great. They're taking over.
I love it as well, but obviously Brewdog are like the big dogs.
Yeah.
What are they? Are they too big to be considered a craft beer? What is the definition of a craft brewery exactly?
Is it like with games where you got like an indie, but is it like if
like a double A, almost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. What would Brewdog would be the equivalent?
I think they're not owned by like a big brewery chain.
Yeah, no, they are independent.
They are independent. But I mean, they're massive. You're right, and they're opening pubs.
But they're in Tesco.
Yeah, they've got.
I mean, we were in the bar in Soho a couple of weeks ago, Rich.
Yeah.
That's a brew dog.
Oh, well, yeah. Everyone's in Tesco, Ben. Come on, I've got a beer in Tesco. That's a big deal. Come on. That doesn't mean anything now. But yeah, they are massive, and they've got their pubs all over. They keep doing share things. You can invest in brew dog if you want. If you've got 500 quid that you just don't know what to do with, which you know. Find me a gamer that's got a spare £500 and all.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can give it to them and they'll promise to send you free beer and make you some money somehow in the long term. Also, actually, this is another thing that one of the burrito shops in London also doing like some share bond scheme, and I was like, I could just invest in all these things that I like to eat and drink.
Free beer, free burritos.
Exactly. Set my birthday life. Would just be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, of course, if you get onto the island, that's pretty much all you'll be eating and drinking. So
this is true. You know, yeah, I mean, I'd be so happy with that. Penny.
Cool. So all right. Well, that's probably decision time then. Guys, what do we think about Captain Toad? Andrew, I'm going to go to you first. How do you feel about that?
Well, I've already kind of shown my hand that I love that game. I think my only reservation is obviously bringing the Switch version, which I've not played. I love the fact that it's got the co-op, but you mentioned about the amiibo and... I remember for the Switch version, you had to have the Toad amiibo to get the little Toad pixel things. And I bought one specifically for that, thinking, this is amazing. You know, this toy can access completely new parts of the game. It was like next level DLC, you know. You've got an actual physical object as well. I'm kind of annoyed that they've taken the amiibo part out, almost. But saying that, I wouldn't hold that against Andrew.
The Switch version, those Mario Odyssey kingdoms are great. You've got the Cascade Kingdom level. You get to hear that music from the Cascade Kingdom, which is just kind of and that's on a minecart. And you get the New Donk City level as well, which sadly there's no Jump Up Superstar, but maybe you should lose points for that, because I was actually quite surprised about that, because Nintendo aren't shy about using that song any opportunity they have. But it's still a great new little level. It's really, you know, it's got all of New Donk City. It's got the sewers. It's got some towers. It's great.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? The content that they added kind of almost helps the fact that there's no amiibo support as such, I guess.
Yeah, although they took out some levels, didn't they? So there are still some levels that I've never played. So I need to find a Wii U with a copy of it.
Yeah, I wondered if they took them out so that they can add them back in when they release 3D World. Like a port to the Switch. I wonder if that's what they're thinking. And then they can go, oh, and now these are in Captain Toad again. Don't know. Might be a bit of a...
I would jump on 3D World. I would jump straight all over 3D World if they did release it. And Toad DLC, then great.
Well, it's like we were saying, there was like Andrew and two other people that bought a Wii U. And so many nice little games that we've missed out on. So I'm all for that as well.
I was so tempted with the Wii U.
Never quite. I'm more tempted now than I've ever been, I think. Just to have it, and I think they're going to become one of those, like the Dreamcast. There'll be people in 10, 15 years talking about it on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And remember the Wii U? Oh, it was amazing.
I'm going to try and tempt you, Ben. Over the next few months, I'm going to try and tempt you to get one.
Yeah, and you will no doubt succeed.
How much are they going for on CEX?
I saw one for about 70 quid, I think, for, is it 32 gig, the black version?
Yeah, definitely go for the 32 gig, don't go for the 8 gig. It's not worth it.
8 gig.
We complain about the Switch, jeez.
Oh, God.
Yeah. On that subject, I can't believe they've just done this re-release with a super new battery kind of life in it. Would it have killed them to just turn that into like a 128 gig onboard memory? It's just like, given that, you know, batteries have got better over the last few years, okay, so you're gonna make that better, but it's, you know, it's memories, you know, gotten so much cheaper, so why don't they just bump up the memory?
It is a tangent, but it's a good point, because they're so keen, obviously margins, blah blah blah, they're so keen to drive us to purchase digitally now. You would think that would be one incentive, would be, oh, here's 400 gig. Go fill it up. Fill your boots. You don't need to buy any cartridges.
They'd make more money, wouldn't they? Because you'd be buying more games on the eShop. And
exactly.
They'd make.
Clearly, Nintendo aren't as clever as us.
Yeah. Well.
That's why we're here and they're there. Rich, Captain Toad treasure
stuck on an island and eating burritos.
Richard, oh, what do you think about Captain Toad?
Too many can be Richard when they're upset with me, so don't do that.
Sorry. Ricardo.
You'd be surprised how many people call me that. Like, this one's a really difficult one because I want to go away and play it again first to really know how I feel, but I know I need to give an answer probably in the next 5 minutes. So, what do I say about a game I don't remember, but I did play, and it was yonks ago? I can't even send the answer to you later on in a bottle, can I? I just have to decide now. It looks cute. I remember it vaguely. Well, I did download the demo, so come on. Look, I'm obviously keen. I won't hold that against the game. I'm thinking it's going to warrant a place on the island, but I'm not too sure at this point.
But has Laurie sold it to you?
That's
the question.
Probably the most impressive...
impassioned description.
Probably the most impressive pitch I've actually heard in the history of this show. So, really wow. Put some words down. Yep. So, I'm going to give him credit for that. Maybe for that alone, it's earned its place on the island. So... yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Definitely.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I agree completely. I love this game. It's just a cute, cute little game that just makes me smile every single time I play it. So it's a big yes from me, but what about the food and the drink? Let's do them. Let's do them both at once. Andrew, what do you think of Laurie's food and drink choices?
Well, burrito is a definite yes because... as Laurie said, who doesn't love a burrito? They are basically everything you need in one wrap. Literally, rice, everything. You know, you just have that and you're done for the day. So, yeah, I'm going to go yes for burrito. Beer, however, I have a problem with. As anyone who didn't say anything during that, I get sick if I drink beer. Horribly sick. Probably my own fault. I had a very bad experience in university with beer. And because of that, I get sick, and also I know nothing about beer, which is awful because my brother runs an Instagram channel all about beer, and he's tried to introduce me to it many times, but it's never worked. I've tried and tried.
Don't feel too bad, Andrew. I'm sure he knows fuck all about the Dreamcast.
Well, yes, true. It's true. Yeah. he tried the last time I went home. Actually, he tried. He bought like a beer that he thought I'd like. I think it was had a honey, I don't know what the words are to describe it, but it was kind of almost honey-like, and all I could taste was metal. All I can taste when I drink any beer is metal.
Did you open the can?
Yeah. No, I just licked it.
Cut the roof of his mouth.
Just go at it like a burrito.
Yeah.
So it's just tinfoil.
I mean, I get why other people enjoy it. I kind of understand that other people enjoy it, but for me, because it would make me sick, I would have to say no to the beer from my perspective.
Mm. Fair enough. Yes, fair enough. Rich, is there any point in asking you?
I'll let you wait until the beer. Yeah, burritos. I love burritos. I love all Mexican enchiladas, tortillas, you name it. We talked about how they can be quite difficult to eat. You never quite know how to handle it without completely spilling the contents all over the table. I'm one of those people, unfortunately. I did try the... we went to Chipotle earlier last year, and I did follow the instructions on their foil, where they've kind of made it almost easy for complete morons to eat now. You kind of almost... It does actually have instructions on the foil, which I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
Still managed to spill it over myself, so there was rice all over the floor. So... but doesn't take away from my enjoyment of them. And you said about how it was a steak one as well, which I am quite partial to. So that's a big yes from me for the burrito.
Sorry, Andrew.
Sorry.
Don't mention steak.
Well, come on now.
Thin ice.
So,
and the craft beer.
Gee, let me think.
What do you think?
Andrew said about how your brother was a Instagrammer for beer, Andrew. Yeah, my sister's actually an Instagrammer for craft beer, so but yeah, I love my craft. She's dragged me headfirst into it. Like, my dad's always been a beer drinker, and I kind of picked up off that. Sister loves craft, so I've kind of really gone deep down a rabbit hole in the last couple of years. BrewDog's not one of my favourites, but I'm partial to a Jackhammer. That's probably my favourite of the BrewDog range. But yeah, Punk IPA? No? I've had far, far worse. It's definitely. A solid choice. Far, far worse. So, yeah, definitely yeah to the punk.
Good. Yeah, and I'm agreeing with these guys. Burritos are life. Life are burritos. Yeah, that's all good. And my favourite brew dog is probably that Elvis juice.
Oh,
have you guys tried that? Sounds once, disgusting. Yeah. But, I think it's like kind of grapefruit flavour. Andrew, honestly, if you did want to try a beer, I would
recommend this is the one. This is the one.
As a gateway beer. So many people. I've tried strawberry beer, all sorts. All I taste is metal. I don't know if it's a problem with my taste buds, but there you go. Metal.
Must have been quite the night. It must have been quite the night back in uni, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember most of it. So, yeah, it was absolutely
gold. All right, moving on from that. I think you've got three yeses there, Laurie. So, congratulations. Welcome to Switch Island. Round of applause.
Hooray. Thank you.
You're in. How does that feel? Proudest moment of your life?
Oh, I'm not gonna lie. I was actually a little bit nervous there. I was feeling a little bit like, oh God, what if they don't let me bring my things in? What are we gonna eat?
There's plenty of pizza on the island.
That's good.
Yeah,
And Mountain Dew. No, thank you. Some knobhead brought Mountain Dew.
Really?
Which knobhead is that? Oh, spoilers now. Spoilers.
Spoilers for the last episode.
No, I'm glad there was some love for Captain Toad. I was a bit nervous for Captain Toad, thinking, is this, you know, this is not. You know, it's not like that sort of landmark game like Breath of the Wild. Mm. I knew that. But, you know, you guys have got those games. I'll just borrow them off you when you're done with them. Once you've found all those Korok seeds, we can
it's swap. It's a bold choice, but it's something it's a little bit different. It's, you know, it's not everything has to be massive and engrossing. So, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. And, good choice. Makes me want to play it. That makes me want to get back into it. So yeah, good job.
Go get the DLC. It's like a fiver. It's the cheapest DLC. Not the cheapest ever, but it's cheap. It's great. Another load of levels. Have you got Labo VR?
I haven't.
No. Does anyone have Labo VR?
Been tempted.
No.
I think Pete is the only islander with Labo VR.
There's so many games now that have like horrible VR modes. You could like Smash and Odyssey and
Breath of the Wild's meant to be terrible. Apparently,
Breath of the Wild. Right. Yeah. They're all terrible. Of course, they're all terrible. But it's just like fun just to stick it in for like 5 minutes and just see how it goes. Mm.
That's my policy.
I saw your face.
We had to get some crude joke in. It's been anyway. Guys, where can the good people and the bad people find you online? Laurie, how about you?
I am at the Eggman64 on Twitter.
Cool handle. Andrew?
Andrew? You can find me at Oddman84 or alternatively at Dreamcast Years.
Lovely. And Richard?
Yes.
Where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Dreamcast Barber.
Lovely job. And you can find me at Benji Kong. And before we go, we are just going to say a big thank you to all of our wonderful patrons. We've got a new one this week, which is always lovely.
Very nice.
But those lovely folks are Adam Phillips, Aaliyah Jones, Andrew Dickinson.
Oh, that's me.
Anyone? Oh, okay.
Hello. Cool.
Lewis Cooper. Why do I keep saying that wrong? Lewis Wilson, Luke Cooper. Two different people with two different names.
We could merge them. Holodeck accident, you know.
They might have a problem with that. I don't know. Mark Hammond, Pavanka Carla, Richard Atkinson, Richard LC. Anyone?
Rick.
Sean Capre, Stephen Landry, Stevie Boxall, new patron Tim Ulf of Nintendo Dad's fame, and Zachary Bradshaw rounded things out. So thank you very, very much for your support. It does mean the world to us, and it's allowed us to get in contact with people like Laurie and Andrew and bring more people onto the island. So onwards and upwards. Thank you all very much for listening. And you can find us, obviously, at The Switch Island on Twitter and theswitchisland.com. All of our links are there on our sexy, updated website. It's pretty lovely, isn't it, Rich?
It's very nice. Very, very nice indeed.
Pretty gorgeous. Cool. All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all on the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.